good morning. Welcome in to the front porch. And here it is. It's the sixth day of August, and it's Wednesday, and Bing Verbist is in with us.
All right.
Good morning, Bing.
Good morning. Not even a week into August, and it's we've been experiencing such nice weather. We were just talking about that.
Beautiful.
Looks like it's going to stay steady. It's not going to get up in the heat indexes like we had, you know, a few weeks ago. So God is good, Brian.
Always. Always good.
Yes, he is. He's so good to us.
He really is.
He gave me a nice, beautiful drive up here this morning, chance to just thank him and to speak with him and to listen to you in between prayer.
Yeah,
it's we're so blessed. We're so blessed to live in this area. I ask people, if you have neighbors and friends who are going through some difficulties, anything, you know, illnesses, financial difficulties, marital, and they're not listening to missionary radio, suggest that they turn on missionary radio. It'll help. It really will help.
Very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people mention to me, you know, do you just listen strictly to Christian music, gospel music? And for myself, yes. That is my answer.
Yeah.
That's what I listen to. I love listening to stuff that uplifts Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's just what I like to listen to. I feel like when I listen to other types of, and which I don't, but if I did, I mean, I feel like that I wouldn't be encouraged and it wouldn't lead me in the direction I need to go.
Right.
You know? Not that I'm sitting here saying every song's bad, but I'm just saying I want to listen to stuff that encourages me as a believer in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And that's a guarantee to those who listen to missionary radio.
Mm-hmm.
The music, the programming, everything that goes on here will encourage.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you can't get that guarantee when you're listening to secular stations or maybe even other religious stations.
Mm-hmm.
There may be times where you will be discouraged, but not here. It's all about Jesus.
Yes.
It's all about connecting with him. It's all about the gospel.
Yes.
It's all about the power that indwells believers by the Holy Spirit. It's about walking in obedience to him.
Mm-hmm.
This is the key. This is the key to life.
Yes.
It transports you from being a mere resident on this earth, walking through this earth with the finality of your days at your death, or walking as a resident of heaven upon this earth.
That's right.
With no finality.
Mm-hmm.
It's just and I love the fact that when you attend funerals of believers in Christ, it is called passing on. They passed on.
Yes.
And that's what that's the reality of it. You know, once you are a believer in Christ, and at your death on this earth is really a gateway.
Mm-hmm.
It's a passing on from this existence, this physical existence, to a brand new spiritual existence
or
a brand new spiritual body in the image of Christ. It's such good news.
Very good news. that's the neat thing about being a Christian. You know, when you live your life as a Christian, when you pass from this life to the next, it just life just keeps going. I mean, you're just changing addresses.
Yeah, I like to say you never not exist from your conception of your earthly parents and at your birth. You never not exist. You enter into eternity.
Yes.
That is just a living, breathing, walking
miracle.
That's like we just heard. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Bing, where are we picking up at?
We're going to pick up where we left off last Wednesday. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I can't tell you the exact verse. I'll have to get my notes and look at it. But we were talking about the encounter between Nicodemus and Jesus as we ended the program last Wednesday. And Jesus said, hey, you will not enter into the kingdom of God unless you're born again.
Mm-hmm.
And Nicodemus had a hard time understanding that, but Jesus told him, point blank, that must be done.
That's right.
And once you're born again, he further goes on to explain in Scripture and with this talk to Nicodemus that we become the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, there are things that we can't imagine that we could do. mm-hmm. or things that we can't imagine we are empowered to do.
Yeah.
And it's a part of learning as a Christian. You must learn mm-hmm. to yield to the Spirit, listen to the
That's
Spirit,
right.
Be led by the Spirit. And there are gifts, too. And that's kind of where we'll pick up in the Corinthians verse today, speaking of the diversity of gifts that the Spirit gives mm-hmm. each mm-hmm. believer. So, yeah, that's where we're going, Brian.
Well, all right.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Do you read the Bible, or does it seem out of reach to you? I grew up hearing the Bible taught and preached. For that, I'm thankful. But when I finally started reading it myself, then the blessings flowed. George Mueller, who was known for his strong faith, confided, "The first 3 years after conversion, I neglected the Word of God. Since I began to search it diligently, the blessing has been wonderful. I've read the Bible through 100 times and always with increasing delight." Join in on the delight. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
All I have to do is turn on the radio, and there is a song or message that applies to my situation. 100%
listener-funded missionary radio.
Missionary Radio. And, of course, we want to welcome you back to the front porch. Real quick, I want to mention, of course, I know we mention it when I'm trying to mention it during our front porch programs. We have podcasts now of the front porch being. It's on our website, missionary.radio. Go to podcast, click on podcast, and then a rocking chair will pop up. After the rocking chair, you'll see previous programs of the Front Porch podcast. So you can go listen to those anytime you like on our website.
Good, good. So glad that that's available.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So you can go back and listen to yourself.
That's right. I can do that. So we were talking about the Holy Spirit who dwells inside all believers.
Amen.
And that's a guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
We become his tabernacle. He takes up residence, and really, the Scripture tells us it's not only the Holy Spirit, it's God the Father and Jesus Christ, too. It's the triune God who indwells the believer. That's why miracles can happen.
That's
even
right.
When you feel like you are unable, you are able.
Yes.
There's nothing impossible for those who believe. So, another thing, but the Holy Spirit dwelling in a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, there are things available to us that were never available to us before we became a believer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking of the gifts. I mentioned this before the break. Gifts from the Spirit that are impossible to receive if you're not born again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 12:4 is where we're going to pick up this morning. I didn't know the verse earlier, but that's where we will begin, 1 Corinthians 12:4. And it tells us this. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." So this same Spirit is very important. I think it's very important to note this. Will always glorify Jesus. That's according mm-hmm. to John 16:14. He will never take glory for himself. He is like the wind blowing here and there. He is very, very subtle, invisible, but he has power to move.
Yes.
He was there at the creation of the earth. He is moving across this earth.
Yes.
With no form and void. The Holy Spirit is a very special part of the triune God. And this same Spirit, when not hindered by us, will inspire manifestations of these gifts, according to verse 7. He will form the body of Christ, according to verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 12. He will energize believers. He will give us not just the love of God,
mm-hmm.
but for us to understand it more fully, he will give us the agape love of
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that a little bit later. We will be able to speak mysteries in tongues, and we'll interpret the mysteries of tongues. He can give us prophecy, the gift of prophecy, and he, the Spirit of God, gives gifts to all believers that he sees will benefit the kingdom of God most in each and every believer he gives this particular gift or gifts to. Verse 5 says, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God who worketh all in all. So, once we become born again, there is a work of the divine Trinity available to us. Spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit, we just saw that. Mm-hmm. Administrations by Jesus Christ, and operations by God the Father. What does all that mean? Well, 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. What is that saying, Brian? Is he giving us these gifts to profit ourselves?
No.
No. He's given us these gifts to profit with all. This is supposed to spread from us. Like when you throw a rock into a still pool and you see the ripples going out from us, that's movement. That's spiritual. Yes. Yeah. And that's what we're supposed to be. We use these things given to us by God to affect others around us. Not just the brethren, not just the body of Christ, but our neighbors, our friends, the world. That's the plan of the gospel. So anything a born-again believer receives from the Spirit of God or the divine Trinity is never given to benefit that believer only, but to profit everyone in the body of Christ, and not only the body of Christ, but the whole world around us. When Jesus sent out his disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he told them in Matthew 10:7, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the message he wanted to tell his people. Be ready. Yeah. Be ready. That's what John the Baptist was telling the people before Jesus showed up. Be ready.
Be ready, yeah.
The kingdom of God is at hand. And then Jesus says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received. What's the next two words? Freely give.
Okay.
You've received these freely. Freely give them out.
Okay.
That's right. And that's really what our gifts are meant to do with us also. So just as Jesus enabled his disciples with abilities to herald the kingdom of heaven, the Spirit of God enables us today to do the work of the kingdom of God while here on earth. We're citizens of heaven on our earthly pilgrimage to affect this earth in a positive way for the kingdom of God. And really, the whole idea is to bring other lost souls into this heavenly kingdom one day in the future. We may, if we do our work well, we stand there in the heavenly kingdom. We're in the New Jerusalem looking across the vastness of that great city. We may see these people that we have engaged with and shared the gospel with. It'll be a huge blessing. It'll be something we can't even fathom.
Amen.
Now, 1 Corinthians 12:8 tells us, for to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom. Okay. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning the spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. We don't have much of a say in this.
Yeah.
We may have talents, natural talents. We may have natural gifts from birth. But the Spirit, and this is really kind of a mystery, the Spirit can give you a gift that you never realized that you would ever be able to have before.
Yes.
And once that is given to you by the Spirit of God, and you realize that this is not natural, that this is supernatural, The idea is you'll be led to walk in obedience, talk in obedience, move in obedience by the Spirit, and then it will also give you, and this is really quite extraordinary, Brian, but once you use this gift and you see the effects of this gift, you can't possibly take any credit.
Nope, no credit at all.
You can't take credit for it because you know it was something that you never possessed before you became a believer in Jesus Christ. So according to these verses, the Spirit of God will give to every man and to every woman, all believers, the spiritual gifts that he so chooses. We may never, if given a list of gifts to choose from, we may have never picked the gift that the Spirit of God gave
us. That's right. That's right.
But he knows what he's doing.
Absolutely.
And not all spiritual gifts are the same, which enables the body of Christ. Okay, that's speaking of your church family, all believers in Jesus Christ. That's speaking of people from one end of this earth to the other who believe in Jesus Christ. When it comes together, when we come together to worship, the ability to manifest all the gifts of the Spirit effectually in and among the church, and the ability to greatly influence the world around us. When we come together as the body of Christ with all these diversities of gifts, it is like having all the gifts.
Amen.
And filling in all the voids.
Amen.
So anyway, that's where we will end and pick up in verse 5. When after we get back from my very favorite part of this program.
Pen from the heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Katie's, thank you for making my drive time special. From Clarksville, thank you for your faithfulness. May God richly bless everyone serving Him at Missionary Radio. From Crofton, God bless each one. Continue the good work. And from Hopkinsville, I can't imagine not having Missionary Radio.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
All right. We were talking about spiritual gifts that all believers receive from the Holy Spirit, which enables the body of Christ. And you are a part of the body of Christ if you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you.
Yes.
The ability to manifest all the gifts of the Spirit in a powerful, effectual way among your church family and among the world and the community around you. And when that is working, as verse 5 tells us, the different administrations given by Jesus will work in harmony. And if that is working, verse 6 tells us, the different operations given by God the Father will enable the church to work effectively in this world for the kingdom of God. But it all starts, well, I don't know if it all starts, it all starts with the new birth, but it all becomes a working unit when each individual member of the body of Christ takes on the assignment to be a healthy member, a Spirit-led member in this body, freely giving all that he or she has to benefit the entire body. Which leads us to 1 Corinthians 12:12, where Paul tells us, "For as the body is one, and hath many members," and you can look at your church today and say, that's it, you know.
Yeah.
We're one. We have many members. And all members of that one body being many are one body, and it ends with, "So also is Christ." For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. This is the spiritual body. This is the unseen body that we become a part of when we become born again, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, as Paul would say, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. It doesn't matter your status. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your gender. We have all been made one to drink into one spirit, for the body is not one member, but many.
Many.
And then he goes on to give us some common sense description of what he's speaking of. And this is alluding to the physical body, our human body, so we will understand more fully. He says, and if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Well, the answer is no. It is still a part of the body, though it is different than the eye. Verse 17 says, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Do you see the interconnectedness of the body? We have to have all these different things to be fully functioning. We can't all have the same spiritual gifts. We can't have all the same spiritual gifts. Or what would happen? Well, we would be lacking in all these others. And then verse 18 says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, not as it pleased us, but as it pleased him. So just as God knows the day we were born, and just as God knows the day we will die, he knows this because he exists every second of every minute of time the same. He knows.
Yes.
God knows the gifts that each one of us are destined to receive even before we receive them. And when we do receive them, he expects us to use them.
Yes.
So if you have a gift out there, and you feel you're not using that gift, you need to get connected with God.
Yes.
And ask him to give you the ability, the leading, the compulsion to use this gift in an effectual way, not for yourself, not to get any kind of glory for yourself, but to glorify him.
Yeah.
That's just the mandate. That's what we were given these gifts for. 1 Corinthians 12:19 says, and if they were all one member... Okay, where were the body? We can't all be eyes. Where's the rest of the body? But now they are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. God has designed it in such a way that we first have need of him to receive these gifts, and then we have need of each other to bring these gifts together in a way that they can be used effectively in this world. There's no Lone Ranger Christians out there. We are dependent on the other Tontos.
There you go.
Now, we are dependent on each other, and that's just the way God's designed this, and I think it's beautiful.
Yes, it is.
So, by the way God designed it, it is impossible for someone with a highly visible esteem gift in the body of Christ, and this is also true, think about it, to function properly without the more unseen and quieter gifts of others also working the way they're supposed to be working. We're interdependent. So by comparison, our physical body, our heart, our liver, our stomach, our lungs, our kidneys must be working properly so that our legs, our arms, our head, and our mouth will do what they're supposed to do.
Absolutely.
Okay. Verse 22 says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. Now, why did God design the body this way, our physical body and the body of Christ? Well, verse 25 tells us this. And earlier in Corinthians, Paul was addressing divisions in the church. Well, verse 25 tells us that there shall be no schism in the body. That's a division. Okay. but that the members should have the same care for one another. God designed it this way to keep us from being puffed up. And there was also that puffed up stuff going on in Corinthia. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Realizing we are incomplete and lacking if we're not connected to others in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. That's the lesson here. That's the lesson, that we are interwoven with other believers. When you are a tiny cell in a physical body, you must be healthy. You must do what you are designed to do, or else the physical body will suffer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what verse 26 says. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the other members rejoice with it. You must be a healthy cell. You cannot be a cancerous cell in a body.
That's right. That's right.
Because the body's going to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this rejoicing with members that are honored, this suffering with members that suffer, that's huge. That's huge.
Yeah.
That's why we don't covet in the church. We don't covet mm-hmm. what mm-hmm. other people have.
That's right.
That's why there's no jealousy. There should be no jealousy in the church
mm-hmm.
because we are all intertwined, working for the same purpose, under the same headship. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says this, "Now ye are the body of Christ."
Yes.
"And members in particular." In other words, you and all in Christ like you make up the true church or the body of Christ. And then verse 28 says, "And God has set some in the church first, apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." And then it goes on to ask us, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? I just said a little while ago you shouldn't covet in the church. Well, this verse says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you the more excellent way." And we're going to get in, when we come back from a visit with Johnny, what are the best gifts to really yearn for and to covet. All right?
Hi, this is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope. Lean in, because today Johnny's asking if we're ready for boot camp.
Oh, I remember when I was maybe 11 or 12 years old, I went to my girlfriend's church. My friend was named Kathy, and I wanted to be just like Kathy. She was popular in her 8th grade class and well-liked by everybody. Because of Kathy, I took ballet lessons. And I must confess, I think Kathy was the one who originally inspired me to even take piano lessons. So anyway, when this girlfriend asked me to come to her church on Sunday, I gladly went. I don't remember much about the sermon, but I do remember it made me feel really good about myself. God liked me. In fact, God liked me just the way I was. I left that church probably feeling like Kathy did, that I was okay, I was cool, I was in with the Lord. He liked me just the way I was. Oh, that was many, many years ago, but I still remember that moment, you know, feeling like God was really great and he really liked me, and so I liked myself, and because of that, I was heading to heaven. Never mind that the real gospel was preached at my own church. That didn't matter. This was Kathy's church. I'm okay, so you're okay, and God's okay with that. Like I said, it was decades ago. And you know what? Not much has changed in American preaching. Most preaching in the pulpit still encourages us to accept ourselves as we are. You know, not much has changed. We're even told that God accepts us as we are. But is that so? True, sure, it's right that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took us just the way we were. But from the very instant you said yes to Jesus, from the moment you were justified, it's no longer, "Hey, God thinks you're okay." Instead, it's, Oh, so you're justified before God? Great. Now, get about the business of your own sanctification. Start now. Work out that salvation of yours with fear and trembling. Take up your cross daily and die to the sins that Jesus died for on his cross. Oh. Friend, when we sign up in the army of Christ, true, God takes us just as we are. He loves us just as we are. Like a kid fresh out of high school signing up for the military, though, immediately you get sent to boot camp. And it happens the very first time that you as a baby Christian encounter a tough trial. To be justified deals with your position before God. God accepted you with all your bumps and bruises. He accepted you in Christ. Jesus made it possible for God to justify you and write your name in the book of life. But then, immediately, God tells you in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in 2 Timothy chapter 2 to, quote, sanctify yourself. That is, start proving with your life what you believe. Start putting into practice all that you believe about the Lord. If God is to enter our lives, he must in some way make room for himself. He must hollow you out and empty you. As someone has said, the American church needs to see that God only gives sight to people who think they're blind. You once were okay when God accepted you in Christ as you were, but now it's a constant moment-by-moment awareness of your blindness, your need, your poverty, your weakness, and your sin.
Friend, this is what makes the good news so great. And if you want to find out more about the greatness of the gospel, visit us at johnnyradio.org. If you're struggling as to how to grow, let us help you. We've got a great team of friends here at Johnny and Friends who want to pray for you. We want to help you make it through boot camp. Remember, it's johnnyradio.org.
At Missionary Radio, every song, every scripture, every word of encouragement you hear is made possible by you. We're not funded by commercials. There's no big corporation writing checks. It's friends like you, listeners who love Jesus and want others to know him, who keep this ministry going. Right now, giving is down, and our next Carathon isn't until October, but the need is real today. If this station has blessed your life, if it's helped you through a tough day, drawn you closer to Christ, or filled your home with peace, would you prayerfully consider stepping in right now? You're not just giving to a station. You're giving so hope can be heard 24 hours a day. Go to missionary.radio, click on donate, or mail your gift to P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Missionary Radio, sharing the love of Jesus because he's worth it.
And, of course, this is the Front Porch on Wednesday, the 6th day of August, and this month moving right along already.
Oh, my goodness, it just moves fast, don't it, Bing?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that before. It's uncanny.
Uncanny. That's it.
Anyway, so we left off asking this question, what is the best gifts? What is a more excellent way God wants his church to take? In 1 Corinthians 13... is all about explaining what should be the lifeblood flowing in the church's veins, not only then in Corinth, this is who Paul is writing this letter to, but this letter is also written to us today and all of the body of Christ through all of time. 1 Corinthians 13:1 begins with, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, that's a King James word for love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, the word charity here in the Greek is not just love, but agape. Okay, that's the key. That's where the power is. This is a divine love. This is an unconditional love that Paul is talking about here. This is the love that God has available for us and all mankind. But today, that kind of love needs to touch mankind through the church. Okay? If he's made it available for the body, for the church, then we are, just like all the other gifts that we have received from God, we need to use this love, this agape love, mm-hmm. to be an avenue to touch our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, fellow students, all the people around us.
Mm-hmm.
So there are 9 ingredients to this agape love found in the rest of chapter 13. First, and these are crucial to have and to expound on and to grow agape love within us.
Mm-hmm.
The first is patience, okay?
That's a big one.
Verse 4 says, charity suffereth long. And then verse 7 says, it beareth all things. That sounds like God. Mm-hmm. That sounds like God to me. Second, there's kindness. Verse 4 says, charity is kind. Third, there is generosity. Verse 4 says, charity envieth not.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth is humility. Verse 4 says, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up.
Yeah.
Fifth, there is courtesy. Mm-hmm. Verse 5 says, doth not behave itself unseemly.
Mm-hmm.
Six, there is unselfishness. Verse 5 says, seeketh not her own. Seventh, there is good temper. Verse 5 says, is not easily provoked and thinketh no evil.
Mm-hmm.
Eighth, there is righteousness. Verse 7 and 6 says, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And ninth, there is sincerity, which is the culmination of all these verses. Love and profession, never boastful, never conceited, not a hypocrite, always honest, leaves no impression but what is strictly true, never self-assertive, does not blaze out in passionate anger, nor brood over wrongs. Wow. Wow. This is describing our God. Always just, always joyful, always truthful, knows how to be silent, full of trust, and always present. Those are things that can describe our God, and those are things that should describe His children once mm-hmm. we become believers in His Son. This is the love that God has for all mankind. This is not the love you will see, Brian, in the lines of Walmart or Dollar General.
Mm-mm.
Or out in public. This is not the love you will see displayed on the 10 o'clock news.
Mm-mm.
This is not the love you will see from leaders of the world or leaders of our political parties today.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, this is not the love you will see more often than not inside the walls of a lot of churches today.
That's true.
Or inside a lot of our homes today.
True.
And if you can't see that in the churches and in the homes, mm-hmm. if that doesn't defy the homes in the churches of America today, then it's no wonder that you see that all over the place mm-hmm. going on.
Mm-hmm.
But of all the fundamental building blocks of the church today, after we receive the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
there is nothing more important to build upon than the agape, love of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to say, I love my fellow man, but it's not easy to say, I agape love. Mm-hmm. Fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the rubber meets the road.
Yes.
And when Jesus himself was asked, when he was alive on this earth, by a lawyer of the Jews, and this was a question meant to entrap him, he said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus answered in Matthew 22:37, this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul,
mm-hmm.
and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. And this is speaking to us now.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt love thy neighbor as who?
Thyself.
Thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So Jesus is saying the love of God is what connects what God wanted in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
and the love of God is what connects what God wants today in the New Testament.
Yes.
Romans 5:8 tells us this, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then 1 John 4:16 says, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So is love, agape love, important for the church to hold on to today and to display and to have a genuine love for people around them and for the body of Christ and for God? Yes, yes, yes. And then 1 Corinthians 13:2 tells us this, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing.
That's right.
That's how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, all those things that I do would profit me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeking not her own, not easily provoked, thinking no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, bearing all things, believing all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease.
Mm-hmm.
Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, 1 Corinthians 13:11 says this, for we know in part, in our physical bodies, even though we are temples of the triune God, we know in part, because we're limited in our physical bodies, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, Paul says, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, there are three things here, Paul says, that a man puts away or should put away at some point during his lifetime on earth. He should put away speaking like a child. He should put away the understanding like a child. And he should put away thinking like a child. The Greek word for put away is kartargio, which means to make useless or void. But I like this other better, to abolish, to just abolish it. Here it means the things that are abolished or made void are to be superseded by a more complete life along the same lines. Therefore, in the same way that adulthood is so far advanced beyond childhood as to be another plane entirely, there will be no more need of prophecies when we shall know as we are known. There will be no need of the gift of tongues when we shall know all the languages of the universe. There will be no need of stumbling around in ignorance with our partial knowledge when we shall have all the super knowledge of Jesus Christ and the complete and perfect insight into all eternal things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for showing us these things, Lord. We are destined as believers in Jesus Christ to experience wonders and an existence that is indescribable when we spend it with you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray for those who don't know this. We pray, Lord, that we will be emboldened to have the agape love of God, to speak to others around us in a way that will bring them into the kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.